What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Inventing the Future podcast, where our mission is to inspire and empower you to solve the world's biggest problems. Now, I have a pretty special episode for you guys today because as of January 27th, it is both the 1 year anniversary for this podcast as well as my 25th birthday. So that calls for a very special and personal episode. In this podcast, I mostly interview other people, talk about entrepreneurship and whatnot, but I thought it would be a special celebration to take the time and tell you guys a little bit more about myself. And I'm going to do that by telling three stories from my life. And I think it'll highlight a better picture of who I am and why I do what I do. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into the three stories. The three stories as an overview. The first will be a recognition of my privilege. The second story will be the discovery of my purpose. And the third story will be the biggest mistake I have ever made and how I made a comeback. That's a spoiler alert. Let's get into it. So the first story is the recognition of my privilege. So I am originally from Colombia, from Medellin, Colombia in South America. And I lived in Colombia for the first 4 years of my life. But when I was four, my parents made the absolutely ridiculous decision to leave everything they ever knew behind in pursuit of a country that had better opportunities. To this day, I still cannot fathom how someone can leave behind all of their family, friends, and the comfort of a country and a system that they've known and worked with their entire lives. So as a little bit of context, my dad is a gastroenterologist, a doctor, a physician, and my mom is a microbiologist. So both very well-educated people, and they both got great opportunities here. But when I moved to the U.S., I obviously didn't know what was happening, but as time would later unfold, I would recognize the ridiculous opportunities and privilege, not only of being in the U.S., but also of growing up with a family that was financially stable and well off. But I would say the story that really highlighted my privilege was an experience I had when I was about 15, 16 year old, where one of my ex-girlfriends invited me to go to a religious retreat. And she invited me on this retreat. And one of the activities that they had us do during this retreat was to get in a little circle, a very close, intimate circle, where we create a safe space and everyone was asked to share what problems or challenges they had in their lives. So one by one, we went around, everyone sharing their problems. And you can imagine a whole plethora of problems being such as like abuse from their parents, physical abuse, drug abuse, financial problems, any problem you can think of, it was being named. And then everyone was going, crying, super emotional, until finally it got to me. And when it got to me, I basically broke down and started crying because I didn't have any problems to share. I felt this immense sense of guilt come over me and almost possess my body because I didn't feel like I could relate with any of these people, right? I just lived such a ridiculous life of privilege and fortune, and it hadn't struck me how unusual that was, nor why that was not the common case to grow up with so much privilege and comfort in my life. So I expressed to the group what I was feeling and how I felt guilty and bad for not having problems. I mean, I almost literally felt as if I wanted their problems so I could relate with them. But there was this angel in the circle that told me, hey, well, maybe your life can be an example of what is possible in this life, right? Like none of us have really known that possibility, but you can be a beacon of hope in that sense. And that really illuminated me on not only the possibility of what my life could be an example for, but also of the recognition of this privilege that I now was very aware that I had. And the major lesson from this was that I realized that privilege in general gives you two options. You can either take your privilege for granted and kind of like not really make the most of it and live a comfortable life, or you can take the privilege, maximize the opportunities that come with that privilege, and grow yourself the most that you possibly can. And at least for me, specifically to give back to the people that were born in less fortunate circumstances. So that was the main lesson. And the other thing there is that I've realized over time that many people do have a cynical or pessimistic view on life. And it's likely because of the challenging circumstances that they grew up with. So for me, it's very important to be that beacon of light, hope, and possibility, and to demonstrate what is possible if you really set your mind to it, if you develop the mindsets, and to contribute to creating opportunities, especially for the people that need it the most. To go a level deeper here, when I think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right, the pyramid, the majority of people around the world are at the very bottom of this pyramid. In other words, they're in survival mode. And it just so happens that not only do most people live at the bottom of this pyramid, but it's also where the greatest amount of suffering is experienced. So for myself, that realization has made me want to focus on opportunities where I can help these people the most. And that's what's become the most important thing for me. So cool. That is the first story, the story of the recognition of my privilege. The second story is a story of discovering my purpose in life. Now, ever since I can remember, I've always felt this very strong ambition within me. But throughout my childhood and most of my teen years, my ambition was mostly a desire for wealth. And because this ambition for wealth was very self-centered in like what I could acquire and what that would afford for me, I never actually did much in response to what I felt. I overdosed on video games and TV. I never really read unless I had to for school. And I ate a ton of junk food and had a terrible diet. And I even remember at one point thinking like, wow, I guess I'm just going to live an ordinary life, because I knew that I wasn't doing what I needed to do to live the life that I desired and to live in alignment to that ambition I so strongly felt. But then something remarkable happened about 5 years ago. I attended a Tony Robbins seminar named Unleash the Power Within, and I experienced many breakthroughs during that seminar, which was like a 5-day event, full immersion, like 12 to 14 hours a day of Tony Robbins, this life coach that's like a master of psychology and success, literally giving you all this life wisdom. There's a lot of breakthroughs, but what really stuck with me the most was that Tony's wisdom on the importance of giving and service, it kind of created this shift where I was now more focused on how I could serve humanity rather than thinking about how rich I wanted to become. And with that shift, after the seminar, I felt that for the first time in my life, I had finally begun to act in alignment to that ambition that I had been feeling for such a long time. I had literally, quite literally, awakened the giant that was asleep within me. And I think the major shift that happened here was that I went from being self-centered in my ambition to now shifting that ambition and the purpose of the ambition to be something much greater than I could ever be individually. It was now aligned with the benefit of all humanity. Now my success would not only be my success, but my success was now attributed to the success of all humanity. And this was such a powerful mental shift that I felt that I could no longer ignore that ambition within me. So after the seminar, I almost entirely quit playing video games and watching TV because I started to care much more about what I wanted the most rather than what I wanted right now, aka instant gratification. I also began reading and learning more than I ever had because I realized that if I truly wanted to achieve my highest aspirations, then acquiring intelligence was a necessary means to that end. And it was interesting because at first I didn't really love reading that much. But over time, I started to rewire my neurological associations and finding the thrill and fun in learning. And now I'm to the point where I literally see education as a form of entertainment. And because of that, I almost never choose entertainment because education is entertaining to me. And finally, the major shift that came from this is that I became extremely health conscious because I knew that if I wanted to fulfill my purpose, I would need an abundance of energy to make that happen. So now I eat so many vegetables that several of my friends call me a plant, which is also funny because they also call me a CPU or an AI. Not sure how those two mix very well, but somehow it works. Now, the major lesson here from the discovery of my purpose is that when you do things with the focus on what benefit you will get out of it, your potential and motivation will be limited in many ways. But when you focus your energy on how you can contribute to all of humanity, you tap almost into this unbounded, infinite source of energy that is all humanity. And that's why I could no longer ignore what was happening within me. And the second lesson here is that if you take the time to discover and clarify and dig deep into what your why is, your capacity to do anything is largely amplified. And the quote that I love in reference to this says that a powerful enough why can bear any how. The final lesson I'll share with this story is that the mind is probably the most sophisticated object in the entire universe, and yet no one gave us a manual on how to use it. So take the time to learn how to use your mind, how to learn better, how to think better. In many ways, I think this is the essence of personal growth. And for the success I've been able to achieve in my life thus far, I think personal growth and taking the time to really dig deep into my psyche and my mind and identify my limiting beliefs and break through all the bullshit, that I think makes all the difference in the world. All right. For the final story, my biggest mistake, this is a pretty fun one. So this story begins with the fact that I learned how to code when I was 13. And I was very lucky because one of my dad's friends turned out to be a computer scientist. And he told me, hey, if you ever have an idea for building an app, let me know and we can build something together. So I came up with a ton of ideas and pitched them. But in the end, he's like, hey, let's start with something simple. And we ended up building a calculator for the iPad when it first came out because there was no calculator for the iPad. The experience was magnificent and very interesting. And I was looking at code, seeing him code, and I'm like, what in the world is going on here? But over time, I started picking it up and it became fascinating. We published the app and ended up getting over 30,000 downloads. And the experience struck me to such a deep level that I ended up realizing that programming is not just a tool. It's a platform for enacting meaningful change in the world. So because of that experience, even though I loved business and entrepreneurship, I decided to study computer science at Texas A&M University. And while I was at Texas A&M, I did several internships, as you should do, to get good job opportunities. And the first internship I got, or the first interview experience that I had, was very interesting because I started interviewing with companies like Google, Facebook, Dropbox, Amazon, and whatnot. I was lucky enough to get interviews, and I prepared like crazy for these interviews, never studied harder for anything in my life before. But it was very disappointing because I kept falling short. I felt like I did amazing, but it didn't work until finally I interviewed with Goldman Sachs, a big financial investing bank, and I ended up getting the opportunity. So I got the internship. I spent a summer in New York where I had tons of fun, maybe too much fun, and learned a lot, really enjoyed the experience and the company. And in the end, I ended up getting a return offer. And I was like, hey, you know, this is a pretty good company, pretty good offer. I definitely enjoyed it. So I decided to accept the offer. And now I was going into my senior year of college. So I was going into my last year of college, but I already had the offer and accepted it for my full-time job. So I felt like school is not really that important anymore. I kind of did what I needed to do here. And at the time, I was also in a startup that I actually left not too long ago named Vyze, short for Incentivizing Good. And for Vyze, as a quick overview, it's like a Glassdoor for low-income workers. And our main goal was that we were trying to improve the working conditions for factory workers in Mexico. So the way my mind went was, all right, do I want to focus on doing school assignments and whatnot, which take a good amount of time and are not always the most practical, valuable learning experiences? Or should I kind of focus as much as I can on this startup where not only am I learning way more and way more interesting skills, but the potential impact is also way greater. So made a very unethical decision and decided to hire freelancers using Upwork to do my homework. So hired several people to do my homework for different classes, and so that I could buy myself time. I kind of learned that money and time were interchangeable from my experience of starting an eBay business back when I was in high school. And so I used the same Upwork account I had used before, which had my same name and everything. And so it was not very intelligent. And it was crazy because I did this the last two semesters of college. And then on my last final of my last semester, basically the last day of school ever, I got this email from the Aggie Honor System office telling me that, hey, we want to talk to you. So I was like, oh shit, what the hell happened? So long story short, I ended up getting caught and it was pretty bad. I ended up having a hearing with the school where they decided my fate. Should they suspend me? Should they expel me? What are they going to do with me? And in the end, they ended up deciding to suspend me, fortunately, not expelling me, suspend me for a year and give me an F in six classes. My GPA dropped from like a 3.9 to a 2.9. But apart from that, the bigger damage done was that my parents were just fucking livid and like were so disappointed. They went to my graduation, which was a fake graduation, and were basically deceived into going into my graduation. They're both very well educated, and my mom is a professor at a university, so you can imagine how upset they must have been. And apart from that, I had to tell Goldman Sachs what happened because I would need to go back to school. So I told Goldman Sachs what happened, and they're like, all right, give us 2 weeks to decide and we'll get back to you. And after two excruciating weeks of waiting, they let me know that they would be rescinding my offer. Basically, that I would no longer have my offer and basically lost my job. So literally in one moment, I felt like I had everything. I had this great job offer. I had an awesome startup. I was about to graduate, or I basically thought I had graduated. And then I lost all of that. And best of all, I went back to live with my parents, which were very proud of me in that moment. Just kidding. They were really fucking upset. Yeah. And so the only thing I had left was the startup. And it was challenging because no one else was really that motivated in the startup and they weren't even putting that much time into it. We had just lost two brilliant people on the team that decided to leave. And apart from that, my parents didn't even see the practical value in the startup. They thought I was wasting my time. So it was a pretty dark period, pretty difficult period. But you know what? This is when the personal growth really kicked in, because right before Goldman decided to rescind my offer, I had been thinking like, okay, let's pretend this happens. What would I do in such a scenario? And what I realized is like, wait a second, if I'm going back to school, that means I can do internships again, right? Because I had only done one and I had really wished I had done more, but now I would have the opportunity and I would have the advantage of like having more experience and whatnot so I could get a better internship. So I basically realized like, hey, I can let this be the shittiest moment and period of my life, or I can take advantage of this new path and really turn it into a golden path. I have that power, especially if I set my mind to it. So made the mindset shift. And as a result, I went crazy preparing for interviews. Those technical interviews are not easy, but I coded my butt off for like 3 months, day in and day out, probably invested like over 700 hours in total. And in the end, after 38 interviews with like 19 companies, I ended up, and a lot of rejections, like way more rejections than I thought I could have gotten, which were difficult to process. But in the end, I finally ended up getting offers for internships from LinkedIn, Google, Facebook, and another company. And it was pretty freaking crazy. So since I had a whole year, I took two internships, one during the winter, which was LinkedIn, and then another one during summer, which was Facebook. And man, were those two experiences something else. I really loved both companies and was very impressed. And It was not an easy challenge to do well in those internships, but in the end, I worked my butt off and got offers from both of them and was slightly more impressed by Facebook than LinkedIn, so decided to go with Facebook. And that's where I am now at Meta, where I started about 7 months ago. But yeah, so this is obviously a lot of crazy things happen here, but I want to highlight some of the core lessons here. I think the core lesson, the most valuable lesson, is that the only failure is a failure to learn. This was like a new mindset that I acquired because, you know, in life, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to be stupid, you're going to fail, and you should do things that are risky in which you fail. But what matters most is taking the opportunity to learn from your failure. If you don't take that opportunity to learn, that's a real freaking failure. You just missed out on a golden opportunity to gain something from that. So one example of this is when I did the hearing and I ended up being told I got suspended, I rented out a cabin in the woods and did a silent retreat for 5 days, disconnected with the world so I could reconnect with myself. And when you realize one part of your psyche is flawed, aka my unethical behavior in this case, you question like, okay, what else is wrong with me? Why did I do this? And man, I went freaking deep. I went really freaking deep. And one core lesson I got from that is that I realized that I valued things like learning, growing, and impact so much that I decided to sacrifice my integrity in pursuit of greater, better learning opportunities and a greater potential for impact. But the thing I realized is that integrity is the most important value of all. And I must never put myself in the situation where I sacrifice my integrity in favor of other values. There just isn't something more valuable. And when I was in the silent retreat, I started seeing like the analogies of all of these lessons in nature. So for example, I look at a tree and I'm like, wow, this is such a big, massive tree. How is it able to hold itself up? Well, it has its roots planted firmly in the ground, and that's what's able to sustain it. And it made me think like, wow, the roots of a tree are kind of like the integrity of an individual. As in, for the tree, it doesn't matter how big and strong a tree is, if it doesn't have a solid foundation and strong roots, eventually it will fall down when the wind blows strong enough. Similarly, for a human, a person, it doesn't matter how smart or successful or brilliant you are. If you don't have integrity and you don't act with honesty, eventually you're going to fall down. People are not going to trust you. And you're also not being authentic with yourself. And when you're not being authentic with yourself, you're having to run like multiple threads of like, this is actually me, but this is the me I'm portraying to others. It takes you out of the present moment because you're having to balance two different perspectives or versions of yourself. So I really learned to value integrity and authenticity as a result and really put my ethics in check. The final lesson here with this story of my biggest mistake is that most barriers in life are psychological, not technical. The biggest thing that I think helped here was my mindset. Like, mindset is everything. I could have spent like days, weeks, months crying and feeling sorry for myself, but what the hell was that going to do for me? I didn't spend any time with that bullshit. I recognized that if I had the right mindset, I would be able to overcome any circumstance that got in the way. And this opportunity, this situation was a perfect opportunity to put those mindsets into use. So those are the three stories from my life. It's been quite a journey so far, but to connect it all with like the present, I think it's important to see like where we've come and how that connects to what we do today and why we do what we do. And so now I'm living in Silicon Valley. I'm working at Meta. I have this podcast and I have the startup, but let me dive into each of these very briefly to touch on how the work that I'm doing directly connects with my purpose, my recognition of my privilege, and the lessons I've gained from my mistake as well. So at Meta, as a software engineer, I'm working on the diversity team within the recruiting organization. The recruiting organization is basically Meta's hiring machine, right? We're aiming to hire many thousands of people this year. So you can either hire more recruiters if you want to hire more people, or you can build very effective and efficient systems, tools, and software to improve the velocity of the recruiting experience. So very interesting to observe this system. But specifically, what drew my attention was the diversity team. The diversity team basically has the goal of how can we bring more diverse candidates into the pipeline, the recruiting pipeline. And there's this really interesting challenge about how can we level the playing field for these people, right? Given that minorities don't have equal access to resources or guidance, there's this question around how can we level the playing field for them? So I think it's a very important mission because, you know, diversity is very valuable. You bring in more creativity, more perspectives, more ideas. You're able to have a greater connection with the users that you're serving if you have more diversity. Plus, you're able to help those diverse candidates or employees feel more inclusive. So very important mission and directly connects to my mission to help people that are less privileged, right? That weren't born into the same circumstances. So that's one example. The second example is the startup that I'm in. So previously, the startup that I was in that I left recently was named VIZE, short for Incentivizing Good. So I already mentioned it, but helping improve working conditions for low-income workers. Huge, huge problem around the world. And I did end up leaving my startup around 2-3 weeks ago in pursuit of an opportunity I could not ignore. I mentioned it in my NFT episode, but basically this new idea is a learn-to-earn platform that basically financially incentivizes people to learn. And this idea is most likely to benefit low-income people because low-income people are in most need and would benefit the most from the small amount of money you could make from learning. Plus, they are also the people that are likely to benefit the most from the education they could acquire, right? It's likely to empower them to advance in their professional lives as well as just live a better personal life by understanding how to use their minds better or how to manage your finances better. So very excited about this new startup, by the way. It's called Mindflow, and we formed a team of 5 people so far. So very bullish on the future and to get deeper into Web3, crypto, NFTs, and all of that fun stuff. But yeah, that directly connects with my service to these low-income people. And finally, I have this podcast. This podcast doesn't necessarily serve low-income people, but the broader purpose there is that the entrepreneurs are the people that are solving the world's biggest problems. So in a big sense, I don't just want to directly serve people through the products and companies that I build. I want to empower the people that will be solving these problems as well, aka the entrepreneurs, you guys. So that is an overview of how my work connects to who I am, who I've become, and what I've experienced. So yeah, thought that could be valuable for you guys. But yeah, so to close out here, I want to end by just expressing a lot of gratitude to my audience and my guests. It's been 1 year, a magnificent journey. I think there's so much more to come, and I'm so excited by the potential of this podcast. Like, in many ways, this is just the beginning, but that doesn't take away from the fact that just what has happened so far in 1 year, the people I've met, the people I've been able to talk to, part of the audience that I've been able to interact with and engage with, it's just an entire privilege that makes me very, very grateful. So I'm here for the long run. It's only going to get funner and weirder and way more wild from here. So buckle up. This rocket still has many more galaxies and universes to travel through. So thanks for being a part of the journey. I appreciate you all. And yeah, happy 1 year. As always, my friends, be infinite, and I will catch you in the next episode. Hey guys, 3 quick footnotes here before closing off. So the first is, did you enjoy the topics discussed in this episode? Well, I invite you to join the Slack community for this podcast, where we'll keep the conversation going by engaging in discussions related to the episodes discussed in this podcast. Here, you'll be able to engage in conversations with me and other listeners. And if you really enjoy this podcast, it is likely that you would relate well with other listeners that also enjoy the podcast. In this community, you'll be able to meet, engage, learn from, and potentially collaborate with the like-minded entrepreneurs that listen to this podcast. Let's invent the future together. The second quick note is, if you are interested in receiving updates on new episodes, I invite you to subscribe to my newsletter. And in this newsletter, I'll also share notes, insights, wisdom, tools, and strategies that are designed to help you become a better entrepreneur and live a healthier, fulfilling, and more productive life. And finally, the last footnote is that you can follow us on social media accounts to get updates on new episodes and engage with invaluable content related to entrepreneurship. And also, we have a website now. You can go to inventingthefuture.ai for detailed show notes on all the episodes. So the links for joining the Slack community, subscribing to the newsletter, the social media accounts, and the website can all be found in the show notes for this episode. So with that, I would like to wish you a day, week, year, and life filled with an abundance of love, energy, and prosperity. Take care and stay infinite, my friends.